Welcome to the Boxing Talk Show, Fair but Firm, with the Hall of Fame boxing referee. I'm Joe Cortez and co-host John Zimmel for all of Las Vegas.
Come on, guys, let's touch them up. Three fight. I'm Joe Cortez, Fair but Firm.
Hello, welcome to the Fair but Firm show here in Las Vegas, Nevada, the boxing capital of the world. We're here at the Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame Museum here at Heads Up. Heads Up is a trick art museum, and with my co-host, none other than good-looking pretty boy here, John Zimmel. John.
I appreciate that, brother. Man, I appreciate that.
John, this past weekend, we had one of the most amazing weekends in boxing so far this year. And, of course, the legend in boxing, Manny Pacquiao, proved again that he is the best in the welterweight division as of right now. There's still a lot of welterweights out there. The top guys are there. Terrence Crawford,
Errol Spence.
Yeah, Sean Porter. There's a handful of guys out there. And Danny Garcia.
Absolutely. There's a million. You name it. I mean, look at Yudor Nezhukas. He proved that he's very formidable in this division.
Yeah, he still is. But I feel that Saturday night, we got to take off our hat off to Manny Pacquiao for his brilliant performance.
We're going to go into it probably step by step, start to finish. But just if you could sum up what you saw there in a couple sentences, what would you say?
Well, I would say that Manny Pacquiao once again proved that he is one of the best in the history of boxing. And when I say the history, I mean there's no fighter that's ever won 8 division championships.
Absolutely.
And he has. And you know, it's funny because Wednesday I was at his training camp with him, and we went over some ideas, some things that he was asking me, things that he can do and not do. But then I was in the dressing room just before the fight. I went back there to wish him the best of luck. And I whispered in his ear a couple of words of advice as to what, you know, the fans are expecting. And I know what you can do tonight.
Yeah.
And tonight you got to shine. You're going to do it with speed and power. But don't forget the body shots. Because, you know, Manny has a tendency to throw a lot to the head. Mm-hmm. He's more of a headhunter. But don't forget the body.
You know what?
In that 10th round, he didn't forget it, because, I mean, that's a punch that Keith Thurman will feel for the rest of his life.
Absolutely. He was right in the middle of turning the tides on that one. I mean, he had all the momentum in his favor. He'd won the last 4 rounds on my scorecard for sure.
Yeah,
well, and he looked like he was trying to. We'll get into that in a second. I want to say my first impression of that, as a whole, was this was another dominant performance. One of the greatest performances by one of the greatest to ever do it. You're talking about history. Anyone who wants to say this was a washed up Keith Thurman, you want to blame ring rust, you want to blame anything you want to. The fact of the matter is, if you want to make an argument for Manny Pacquiao as being the greatest fighter of all time, and believe me, people are making that argument, you start with the words 8 division world champion, and you end with the sentence, and he beat an undefeated Keith Thurman at 40 years old to win the welterweight title again. I mean, that's really all there is to it. This is another brick in a Hall of Fame legacy that's been, I mean, this guy was the fighter of the decade from 2001 to 2010. And yesterday was 2019, and he just won the welterweight championship again. I mean, what more can even be said about this guy?
Yeah.
This is an ultimate class, ultimate world champion, and it proves, once again, there are levels to this game.
Now there is. I mean, Manny Pacquiao definitely proved to the world. And he said that this victory over Keith Thurman will be one of his top on his list.
Well, it has to be, right? I mean, it's up there.
I mean, how can you say that a guy who's undefeated, at 30 years of age, 10 years younger than Manny Pacquiao.
Former unified welterweight champion. He didn't lose a belt because he lost. He lost it because of inactivity.
And but you know what? And he fought so well Saturday night. You got to take off the hat off to Keith Thurman.
He fought
a great fight. You know,
he fought phenomenally.
When one of the judges had it, Glenn Feldman gave him an edge by, I believe it was 1 or 2 points.
Yeah, 114, 113, I believe.
Yeah, and a lot of fans felt out that Keith Thurman won the fight. You know what? If you had a fights in the past that was so close, like Triple G and Canelo, they wanted a second fight, not even talking about a third fight. You know, this Keith Thurman and Pacquiao fight will definitely be a great rematch. And
you see a rematch coming?
I can see it happening, but it's not going to happen right now because of the champions that are out there, like Sean Porter, Earl Spence.
Terrence Crawford. We could touch on that real quick. They just announced
September 28th.
They were going to be fighting September 28th for another unification. How long have we been doing this, Joe? About almost 2 years now?
Yeah.
Almost 2 years. We've been calling for what? Welterweight unifications. We've been saying it almost every show, twice a week, for 2 years. And now, finally, we're starting to get them. We got Manny Pacquiao fighting against Keith Thurman for the WBA Super Belt. And then you have now Errol versus Sean Porter for, you know, their unification belt. And then we'll probably see one of those two fight either Pacquiao, Arthur, or Crawford.
I'm still saying, what's happening with Crawford?
You know what's happening with Crawford.
Because of the promotional conflict there and television with PBC and ESPN.
It's just the way it is, man.
You know, but it'll happen. The fans are going to want that fight. They're going to demand that fight. It's going to happen eventually.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You can't keep a good champion on the shelf too long.
Exactly. Well, let's start at the beginning of the fight. What happened in the first round? How did, Manny comes out, sets the tone early, starts throwing bombs, throwing heat, throwing fire, bam, 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 fast combinations. And he happens to catch Keith Thurman while he's on his back foot.
With a right hook?
Big right hook and put him down. It was a little flash knockdown. He wasn't like he was wobbly after.
He was kind of more like off balance, but he got caught with a.
And also,
a surprising right hook.
Absolutely, he didn't see that one coming. It came from behind him. And also, everyone's saying that was not a real knockdown because he stepped on his foot. People get their feet stepped on all the time in boxing, and he did step on his foot. But you know what? That's what happens when you've been fighting for 40 years and you have every trick in your bag. That's the difference between an all-time great, one of the greatest to ever do it, and a Manny Pacquiao, and a guy who's one of the greatest of his era. And believe me, Keith Thurman's one of the greatest of his era. You see things like this. You see things like when a fight is in the sixth round and he starts to turn it around. Now, let me ask you this. His turnaround, Keith Thurman's turnaround in the sixth, where he was easily getting battered, getting beaten in the first five, was that more due? Because I know it had to do with both. I know that it was both were involved. But which was a bigger factor?
I think
Manny getting tired
or
Keith figuring it out? Which one of those?
It's a combination of both.
Of course.
You know, combination of both. Because, I mean, Keith Thurman was definitely figuring it out.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he stopped falling for Manny's traps.
He kept going to his corner. And the trainer kept telling him, man, come on, you got to change. You got to go to plan B now. This is not working. Let's go this way. And it turned around for him for a couple of rounds.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
You know?
Oh, he started looking like he was pushing the pace. Yeah. He had the ring generalship down. I mean, he was really getting everything right.
Yeah, yeah.
And then what happened? What do you see as the deciding factor?
Well, what happened was that body shot.
Yes,
that,
sir.
That Pacquiao hit him with that right shot to the liver. And everything changed. And I had told Manny, don't forget the body, man. The body's important. And in the 10th round, it was almost, my prediction almost came. For real.
You said 10-round knockout. I said
10-round TKO. It'll be a stoppage, and it almost happened. But Keith Thurman, the champion that he is.
Thurman always stays
on his feet. He like a champion. He didn't quit. He stuck. Anybody else would have went on.
We saw that same thing happen against Luis Collazo. He got caught with almost the same shot to the same part of his body, and he almost fell in that round too. And he managed to get through it. We saw when he fought his last fight against Josecito.
Yeah.
He took a combination that, you know, his legs were wobbly, but he stayed up. He's got a real heart of a champion, man, and we got to give him credit there. But have you ever seen a guy get hit in the body where he couldn't breathe, and he also had a broken nose? So he takes his mouthpiece out to be able to breathe and keep fighting?
Yeah.
Because that was the first time I ever saw that. He literally took it out so that he can keep breathing, because otherwise he wasn't able to breathe.
Yeah, yeah.
The guy had no oxygen in his lungs.
I mean, it goes to show, man, he was coherent, but he was in pain.
Oh,
and you need,
shaky.
And he had to get that wind. He got that mouthpiece.
He just couldn't breathe.
It is something you never seen before.
I've never seen anybody take their mouthpiece out. I've seen guys spit their mouthpiece out. We saw Anthony Joshua spit his mouthpiece out.
Well, we saw Diego Corrales when he fought Castillo.
Yes, sir.
He spit out the mouthpiece, and 20 weeks took a point. Was spitting out the mouthpiece intentionally, because kind of helping recoup a little bit.
That's what Anthony Josh was trying to do.
But, you know, it worked.
Exactly. You know? And that was not the same thing as what we saw with Keith Thurman. Keith Thurman took his mouthpiece out to help his help him be able to get air in his lungs, because he's got a broken nose. He can't breathe through his nose. And he's got now, you know what I mean? He got touched up in the body.
He got pain up here. He got pain down here. He said, hey, something, oh, my God, do I quit? Do I keep going or what? He said, I'm a champion. I can't quit.
The two most important shots of the fight, undeniably, were the knockout punch in the first, And in the 10th, the big body shot. But who do you think landed the bigger punches throughout the fight? Because I honestly think Keith Thurman landed bigger punches throughout the fight.
He landed some good, solid punches.
Absolutely.
But, you know, Manny Pacquiao used his speed and, of course, his power that went with it.
Oh, my goodness.
But Manny Pacquiao has unbelievable speed, you know, for a guy who's 40 years of age.
It's ridiculous.
And you know, the first thing that goes on a fighter when you get up in age is your reflexes and your timing. And none of that has gone yet. The legs is the third to go. And, of course, the punching power.
You
never lose a punching
power.
What about
the chin?
The chin, if you have, there's no chin, has muscles on it.
No, I know, yeah.
And so the chin is by, if you're born with a glass chin, you know.
You die with a glass chin. You're not strengthening that chin.
That's all you can do about that. You know, especially when it hits you. Then sometimes you get knocked out with a punch. And the chin, and you know what? Subconsciously, he's always there.
Oh, my God.
You always say,
that's all it takes.
Can it happen again? That's why you know, when Keith Thurman went down that first run, he said, oh, my God. He started going on what do you call it?
On the defensive.
He was on the defensive. He was on survival.
Survival mode, yes,
survival
sir.
Survival mode, like I said before, those were going to happen. And that's just what happened. And but it was a great night of boxing.
Absolutely. My favorite part about it was the whole rest of that 10th round. He had both hands covered his liver. He was like, Manny, you can hit me upstairs. You can hit me on the right side. You can hit me on the chin.
Please don't hit me here.
But I promise you, you're not going to hit me on the liver again. He had both his hands right here. He was like, I'm going to try and dodge the headshots, but I'm not going to block them.
Exactly. It was an amazing night of boxing. And of course, we had a great undercard, too.
Oh, my God. Yeah, let's touch on that before we get back into Manny and you know, what's next and his legacy and everything like that, which, of course, we'll be getting into towards the end here.
Yeah, but one of the things I want to talk about is Caleb Plant, who we had on our show before. Caleb Plant looked amazing Saturday night. And you saw
Caleb Plant is outstanding. I love Caleb Plant. He's you know, a 168-pound champion for a reason. And when the first fight with Uzkateki first got announced, they said, or I didn't say the first fight, but his last fight when he won the championship from Uzkateki, a lot of people said, oh, great, another, you know, Uzkateki's going to run through him. It was a showcase fight for Uzkateki. And Caleb Plant showed that he can do a little bit of everything. He can put combinations together. He's slick. He's powerful. He's fast. He's dangerous in all ends. And but let me ask you this, because Mike Lee is best known for his contributions in Subway commercials more than he is known for his contributions. And that's not a bad thing. I mean, you know, the guy got endorsements without ever fighting a single fight on pay-per-view or television or anything like that. You know, his marketing strategy is obviously, you know, very good. But was this more about, and I don't do this to diminish anyone, but this is, you know, this is important. This is sports analysis. This is what we do. Was this fight more about their results? Was it more about how good Caleb Plant is or how bad Mike Lee was?
It was not that Mike Lee is a bad fighter, because he was a decent fighter.
He was very outclassed.
But he was definitely outclassed by Caleb Plant. Caleb Plant brings a lot to boxing, especially he has great defense, and he kind of has a little.
Yeah, he's exciting.
Like a little bit like Floyd Mayweather with defense, you know, roll with the punch, you know, but he has a... But he came back. I mean, he hit this guy with some punches.
He is slick, but he's powerful.
Slick, every time he landed a punch, that guy's face looked like he was so discombobulated with so many punches he was taking. It only lasted two rounds.
Oh, my goodness.
And the face looked like he went through 50 rounds.
What about him getting up? What about him getting, I mean, he literally...
He wanted to get up.
Getting mad at the ref.
Yeah, he got mad at the ref for stopping the fight.
He said, ref, I got three more knockdowns in me, sure. What are you doing?
He should have said, hey, ref, thanks a lot for saving my life.
My God, I don't even think that last punch landed. It was like a glancing blow, and he just fell. The wind knocked him down.
Yeah, yeah.
He was not ready for a fight of that caliber, and I don't think he ever will be. That was that was hard to watch, man.
I mean, I think anybody that faces Caleb Plant right now is going to be in some serious trouble.
Well, you know, I got an idea for who should face him next, because on the undercard of that very same Errol Spence-Sean Porter fight, we have a kind of a co-main event. You have David Benavidez going to get his strap back, because you remember, once again, David Benavidez lost his I believe WBC 168-pound belt because of, you know, he tested positive for a recreational drug. It wasn't steroids. It was cocaine. And so he lost his one belt, got back another belt, and now he's fighting a unification against Anthony Durrell, the man that took his belt, or not took his belt, but now has his old belt. The winner of that fight, I could very easily see facing Caleb Plant. And when that happens, there's a man that's many consider at the top of the 168-pound division. Right. I certainly, you know, think he deserves that title.
Right.
And that's Callum Smith. And I think they're going to go, hey, Callum, quit hiding over in England. You know, it's time for you to come over and face this American smoke like your boy Anthony Joshua did.
Yeah.
And I think that's just what we might have to end up seeing happen. And I like Callum Smith, by the way. I like him a lot. But when we see, you know, a little bit of unifications over here, I think whoever wins that fight, and let's be honest, it'll probably be Benavidez.
Yeah,
whoever wins that fight, I could see a Benavidez versus Plant super showdown at 168, which would be so exciting. And the winner of that going for an overall unification against Callum Smith. And then you know who I see that winner fighting?
Canelo Alvarez.
Canelo Alvarez. Yes, sir. You guessed it. That should be the game plan in everybody's mind right there.
Yeah. You know, you're talking about game plan and whatnot. Going back and boxing, that's going to be exciting.
My God.
I mean, if that happens this year, or at least next year, we can say 2020 is going to be an outstanding year, talking about those super middleweights.
If it even matches up to 2019, then it'll be amazing. I mean, we're through July, and look how many great fights we've had.
I mean, talking about great fights. I mean, you know, the first fight that was ever televised on television was back in the United Kingdom. It was Archie Saxon.
Versus Luis Ortiz.
Luis Ortiz.
He was on the undercard, though, probably.
Laurie Rictori, and that was a six-round exhibition in London.
Really?
Yeah. That was way back. That was the first televised fight. And the first radio fight was in Jersey City, and that was it was, Jack Dempsey versus George Carpentier, July 2nd of 1921.
I like that. A little trivia for you guys. I guess you weren't expecting that in the middle of that.
That was the first radio TV, fight on radio. And it was amazing to listen to a fight like that, Jack Dempsey, 1921. But, it goes to show boxing, it goes way back, even way before that, but the first to be transmitted via radio or television. But the one...
You know what I watched the Pacquiao fight on?
What's that?
My phone.
On your phone?
Isn't that crazy? That's what we're talking about. You know, what year was that? Do we know? When that first radio?
No, but I can tell you.
Turn of the century.
I'll tell you, it was a black and white.
Like, I guarantee you it was black and white. Yeah,
for sure.
We're talking about fighting's gone back to radio. It was in movie theaters back in the day before there even was movies. We're talking about fights in the first televised fight right there. We're talking about Jack Dempsey. And now I'm watching Manny Pacquiao at 40 years old win the WBA welterweight championship on my phone at a bar. How much more could you even ask for, man? That's just as exciting as it gets.
So how do you get it on your phone?
I bought it.
You bought it?
Yeah, you can buy pay-per-view on the phone.
Okay, that was great. You fans out there, that was the first talk about pay-per-view. That was the first time that Keith Thurman ever had a pay-per-view event. Manny Pacquiao will be there many times with pay-per-view.
Of course, and he'll probably be there again.
And now the purchase for these fighters, honestly, it was like $10 million for Pacquiao.
Is that what they said?
And $2 million for
Thurman. Did Thurman get a pay-per-view cut?
Well, that's on the contract.
So, yeah, we'll make some money after that later.
So they'll make another couple of million on top of that. And Manny Pacquiao, I'm sure, walk away with about $15 million.
I want to touch some more on the undercards real quick before we move on.
Yeah.
We do a thing on this show where we ask whether a guy who's been real dominant throughout, whether he got exposed or whether he had a learning experience. F.A. Ajagba, for the first time in his career, had to go all 10 rounds, had to go all, finish a fight against the gentleman from Turkey, whose name I don't remember and can't pronounce anyway. Who was a formidable fighter, another Olympian just like himself, both 2016 heavyweight Olympians. Was this an exposure? Did F.A. Ajagba get exposed? Or was this a learning experience that he'll use later on in his career?
Well, I think it's going to be,
How did he look to you? Did he look bad? Did he look like he finally got exposed? Or did he look like, he finally fought someone of a caliber? Ajagba, yeah.
Ajagba, yeah. He looked okay, He didn't look outstanding, because I thought he could have put this guy away. To me, he doesn't look like a threat right now in the heavyweight division.
Agreed.
He's got potential, but...
He definitely has potential, and his body is there. We talked about that. He's got a reach
ridiculous.
Yeah,
he got good reach and great conditioning.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
But he got a little bit exposed.
He's still learning.
He got hit with some shots there. It would have been somebody else. He probably would have went down.
I agree with that. I felt like he was holding back, trying to get some rounds in. And then later on did try and put him away and wasn't able to.
It wouldn't work. The other fighter, the European
fighter. Ali, the Turkish fighter.
Yeah, the Turkish. He reminded me a little bit of Andrew Ruiz.
Oh, yeah. He looked like Andrew Ruiz.
kind of had the shape. But he had conditioning,
No, he looked good.
Talking about Andrew Ruiz, I saw Andrew Ruiz Saturday night.
He was there. He was sitting with Deontay Wilder. PBC had all four of their belts right up front there. Right. They said, hey, look at us. Look at us.
Well, that's going to be a good one.
I'm excited about that. Who else? Sergey Lipinets looked outstanding. He put away another overmatched opponent in two. He's formidable. But what about Jordan Azugas? Jordan Azugas.
Before that fight, and I didn't kind of like it. It was a lot of clinching. I said, wait,
there was a lot of clinching, he lost a point for it.
Yeah, he told Tony Rosamora took a point away. And rightfully so.
Of course.
You got to try to take control, but he had him. He has such a long arm. What is he? He's always trying these looping hand punches.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you get up there and use more of a straight punches? Be more accurate. Because I think when he starts throwing those looping punches, that power, he kind of...
Oh, my goodness, of course.
Figueroa
was supposed to be the next one up. Figueroa, we're looking
He put him
he's
down
a
the
former lightweight champion.
He put him down the first round.
I know.
I think going to be easy and nice.
This looks good, man.
Figueroa looked like in the second round, he's going to be over. No,
yeah.
It kept going, and it went the distance.
Figueroa, his brother, Brandon.
Yeah.
Is also, a super bantamweight champion, I believe. These guys are, they're fighting family.
Yeah.
They're phenomenal. But Jordan Ugas proves that he has a seat at the table in a welterweight negotiation.
Yeah, he does.
Absolutely. He beat Sean Porter for the WBC belt.
Exactly. Hey, guys, I was talking about WBC and a welterweight champion. I want to talk a little shout-out again to our former welterweight champion of the world, Pernell Whitaker. Who passed away last week? He got run over by an automobile in Virginia Beach. So I have so often our prayers and may his soul rest in peace. Pernell Whitaker.
Sweet pea.
Sweet pea.
Rest in peace, champ.
Rest in peace.
What's next for Manny Pacquiao, Joe?
Well, Manny Pacquiao, he's going to go on a little vacation now, take it easy back in the Philippines.
What's next in the ring for Manny Pacquiao?
Manny Pacquiao, he's going to be looking at the winner of the Errol Spence and Sean Porter. That'll be a fight for next year. That'd be an excellent fight. I mean, to keep it going, like Hearns and Hagler and Sugar Ray Leonard. I mean, those guys in the welterweight, middleweight division. That's what I see happening there.
I don't think he wants Spence, man. Spence is really big. And I'm not saying he's scared of him. What I'm saying is I think he can make fights
Manny
with guys
will take
that are his
anybody.
Size.
If he took Keith Thurman, he'll take anybody. And I can't say that Errol Spence is better than Keith Thurman. I mean, he's up there.
I can say that Errol Spence is better than Keith Thurman.
Okay, you can say that. I can't.
I mean, he just is. You're talking about Keith Thurman with a 2-year layoff versus Errol Spence, who's just physically bigger. He's a lot bigger.
He's big. I mean, he's a nice young
That's
man.
That's what I'm
too.
Saying.
One thing I like about Errol Spence, you know, he's a classy guy. He has a lot of class.
Oh, my God, yes.
He's not a shooting off his mouth. And
never has been,
bad mouthing his opponent. Never do that. He lets his face do the talking. He's young.
He's charismatic, but he's not, like you said, he doesn't jabber jaw. He's not out there too much.
So good, but I think that Manny Pacquiao, and you fans out there, you can say who you want to say, who we like to see Manny Pacquiao against. I'm sure a lot of you guys will say, let him fight the winner of Sean Porter and Errol Spence Jr., or maybe he could take it easy for a little bit after this tough fight like this, and maybe fight
I think he wants Mikey Garcia. He was at the fight when Mikey fought Errol.
Yeah.
And he was planning on getting in the ring and doing the whole thing, and then after Errol just decimated him, they had him in the ring and they said, hey, Manny, is this your next opponent? And Manny said, we'll see. I don't think he wants Errol Spence.
I've heard some rumors that there's some talks, the contract's supposed to be signed with Manny Pacquiao fighting Amir Khan.
I don't know how true that is.
Yeah. But
Amir Khan says it's true, but Manny's whole team said they had no idea.
I was talking to Bones Adams, Clarence Bones Adams, former Super Bantamweight champion last week. He said to me, Joe, we got a deal with Manny Pacquiao. He said, that's going to happen in November. I said, really? Wow.
Why not? You know what? If Manny wants to do that, go out with one more payday, then more power to him. Manny doesn't owe us anything. Anything. It was the same thing when I said when Floyd fought Berto in his last fight. Floyd doesn't owe us anything. Floyd's fought every Hall of Famer in around his weight class.
Yeah.
His entire career. He doesn't owe us a thing. If he wants to close out against an opponent that doesn't meet his level and he doesn't going to get the buys, that's fine. He doesn't owe us anything. He can do whatever he wants. This guy's put on shows and kept us entertained for 2 decades.
Man,
you know what I mean?
I tell you, Manny Pacquiao and you Filipino fans out there, I know you guys must be just celebrating out there because of a fine performance that Manny Pacquiao did Saturday night. Amazing, amazing, amazing. It's all I can say. He really left the fans. Any pay-per-view event, you say, I got my money's worth. You got it worth that night because he really gave it to you guys.
I got 2 more questions for you. First one's easy. Or not easy, but it's quick. What was more impressive? Manny Pacquiao, 40 years old, beating Keith Thurman for the WBA Welterweight Championship of the World, an undefeated Keith Thurman, or Tiger Woods at 40 years old, coming back from 3 back surgeries to win the Masters this year?
To me, it's a draw.
It's a draw.
How about that, okay? Because I was so impressed with Tiger Woods.
As you should be.
Coming back the way he did. He came back from the dead just about.
I said on the show that was the most impressive sports moment of my entire lifetime.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I'm seriously questioning whether it was.
When I saw him jump up in the air with that red shirt of his, and then he put on that green jacket, I said, oh, my God.
I seriously went and bought a red Nike polo.
I went and bought myself a green jacket.
Did you? You said it makes more sense.
Tiger Woods is an amazing athlete that coming back from all those hardships he had in his life.
Oh, yeah.
And come back, all those injuries.
Every part of his body. Yeah. And this is a guy who just, to come back and win the Masters, the one that made him from the beginning, you know, the biggest one, come back and do that at 40 years old is just as impressive as anything.
It is.
And I agree. But that's not taking anything away from him.
He's one of the youngest to win it and one of the oldest.
Absolutely.
One of the oldest.
Isn't that so cool, man?
He reminds me of George Foreman, become a heavyweight champion then of the world, and then he comes back 20 years later, and comes and becomes heavyweight champion of the world. Now, that's impressive, you know?
Absolutely.
You're talking about shocking events in any sport. George Foreman, absolutely. Tiger Woods, Manny Pacquiao.
Oh, my God.
Put them all in the same class.
I agree. Now, let's talk about somebody else. Let's talk about somebody else who's in that class. Let's talk about a name that we talk about maybe more than we should because he hasn't fought in over a year. Is there a chance we're going to see Floyd Mayweather come back and fight Manny Pacquiao?
You know,
is there a chance, Joe?
Leonard Ellerbe, his manager, was there in the ring,
mm-hmm.
licking his chops.
Floyd Mayweather was there next to the ring.
Yeah, he was there too. And they were there, but I saw Leonard Ellerbe, his manager, like, trying to see how he can get in that picture. I said it's going to happen that they're going to be at ringside because they want to.
Was part of the event.
Well, they were looking for Manny Pacquiao to win because they said, now we can talk. Because now Manny's sure he still has it. Well, you know what?
Now we're having a real conversation.
They're going to put these two guys that are on the Gerald Tall, the senior citizen. I mean, these guys.
I would love that. Seniors tour.
Seniors tour and these guys.
That's what they get for making us wait so long to watch. Now they have to fight until they're 80.
They marinated it, but they let it overcook.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it did.
You know, they let it overcook, and now they want to come back and try to salvage the food that was overcooked, and we say, well, you know what, and the fans want to eat it.
You know, and we will, though. We will. We'll talk about it, and we'll eat it, and that's the thing about it. And I'll tell you something even more. I don't think Floyd wants to fight anymore. I think he's old, and he's happy, and he's got all these business ventures. But I see two reasons why Floyd would take this fight. The first reason, what's his nickname?
Who's the first?
What's Floyd Mayweather's nickname?
Oh, the money. They call him Money. Before
Before
it was Pretty Boy.
But not anymore, though.
But that wasn't working. He said, money sounds better.
Money sounds better, yeah.
Money can make anybody look pretty.
Exactly. I'd rather be rich than beautiful. And then the second reason, and there is that money's there. That money's there. You're talking about the richest fight in history. You're talking about a rematch. Once people start believing that Floyd can lose, they're ready to throw their money at it.
You know what? I mean, Manny Pacquiao, you look at Manny Pacquiao, you know, as a matter of fact, this here painting was by Richard Sloan here in Nevada.
That's a beautiful painting.
We put it up here, the Nevada Boxing Hall. We had an event here, Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame, at the Boulevard Mall here in Las Vegas. If you guys come into town, if you're an outsider, make sure you come to the Las Vegas Boxing Hall of Fame here at the Boulevard Mall. And there you come in here, you can see all the memorabilia. It's beautiful. We're inside the ring here right now at the Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame. Make sure you come by and see that. John, I can tell you, we can keep talking for another couple hours about Manny Pacquiao and Keith Thurman, but let's talk a little bit about, again, the future of the heavyweight division. Now, we got Luis Ortiz, who's fighting Deontay Wilder. That's a rematch.
I'm excited about that one, man. I'm excited about that one for a lot of reasons. I want to finish my point just so I don't leave it hanging. The only other reason I think Floyd Mayweather would fight Manny Pacquiao again is because everybody's talking about Manny Pacquiao now as being the greatest of all time. And Floyd's sitting there going, I'm the greatest of all time. I beat that guy. What are you talking about? So I think pride and money would be enough. There is a number. I think if you gave Floyd 70%, he starts training camp tomorrow.
70%?
I don't think they'll give him 70%, but I'm saying there's a number. Now it's all about finding it, right?
Yes.
Now about the heavyweight division, Joe, we got, King Kong, Luis Ortiz, who fought what was easily one of the two most exciting heavyweight fights of the year last year against Deontay Wilder. We're seeing that again. I can't imagine. Everybody getting mad about why are we seeing this? We've already seen it. Who would you rather him fight? Obviously, Tyson Fury. But Tyson Fury didn't want that smoke. He tried that, and Tyson Fury ran the ESPN. So you tell me. You tell me who he would rather fight. You're talking about two top five heavyweights fighting each other. What's wrong with that, Joe?
Well, you know, Luis Ortiz.
Why are people mad about this?
Well, you know, people want to see. They still want to see the Deontay Wilder, but you wanted to see Anthony Joshua. We were saying that Anthony Joshua. That went out the drain because of Joshua's just didn't have it that night.
No, man.
And he got a water. He
stepped, Andy the Destroyer.
He stepped out of his territory. Our friends are Dan Hewitt here in the United Kingdom. And, you know that Anthony Joshua is a big hero in the United Kingdom. And you guys were hoping it would happen. It didn't happen. So that was going to happen now. Who do you have second best? I remember Luis Ortiz rocked Deontay Wilder. Almost had him on the seventh round. Almost had him on the seventh round. He come back and he stopped Luis
he's
Ortiz.
He's a southpaw. He's elusive. He's incredibly powerful. And he's as technical as you can possibly get versus a guy who's probably as least technical as you could possibly get. I mean, it's as fun of a matchup as you can get outside of the big three.
Yeah. Now, again, we talk about age, and can we say 40-year-old Luis Ortiz and 40-year-old Manny Pacquiao? I think there's a big difference there.
I agree. There's a big difference between Manny Pacquiao and everybody, man. I mean, Manny Pacquiao is a super outlier. But at the same time, Luis Ortiz, I mean, we don't even know how old Luis Ortiz is. I mean, we really don't. I mean, let's just be honest. We have no idea. There's speculation from all over, all angles. And I don't say that to be mean. The fact of the matter is, the guy's old, but he still carries his power, like you said, and he still carries his fundamentals. His footwork is intact. That's the thing about those Cuban fighters is they have it ingrained in them since birth, that that fundamentals, that form, that everything. So, yeah, his speed's not there, but he wasn't going to win on speed anyway, Joe.
Yeah, well, you know, George Foreman didn't win on speed.
He never won on speed.
He got that punching power. And George Foreman ended up becoming heavyweight champion of the world at the age of 45, of which I had the honor of refereeing when he knocked out Michael Mora. But anyway, we could talk about boxing forever. I know you fight fans out there. Our friends at United Kingdom here and around the world want to wish you the very best. My co-host, John Zimmel, Joe Cortez here. Like always, keep your guards up at all times, protect yourselves at all times, and remember, I'm fair, but I'm firm. Touch him up, brother.
Fair but firm with the Hall of Fame boxing referee. I'm Joe Cortez for all of Las Vegas.
Come on, guys. Let's touch them up. Three fight. I'm Joe Cortez. Fair but firm.